My name is Josh Blatt. It is the 24th of September 2009. We're here in Trafalgar Square for the One Another Project with the Wellcome Trust. Can I ask you to state your name, age, and where you're from?
Yeah, it's Jane Pugh. I'm 45 and I live in Cornwall.
And how are you feeling today, Jane?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous and excited, I would say, because I'm a bit worried about falling off, and I'm worried about suddenly wanting to go to the ladies, and slightly worried about making a fool of myself, but it won't be for the first time that I've done that.
How did you hear about the project?
I heard about it on, I think it must have been on the radio. Or was it on the web? I suddenly got something on a website. I can't exactly remember. And I do remember trying to sign up for it before anything was organised, because I thought it was such a great idea. And I got in touch with the mayor's office, and they said, wait, be patient.
What is it about the project that appealed to you so much?
I think I've always followed Anthony Gormley's work, and I'm very interested myself in people, and that's why I followed his work, because so is he. And I think this is a fascinating project because it's about loneliness but also about togetherness.
And what are you hoping to be doing up there?
Well, something I've thought about the project a lot, and I'm going to do a sort of poem. I'm armed with a whiteboard and markers. I'm going to do a kind of poem that kind of explores who we are and how we might appear to other people. It's a bit pretentious.
And how did you react when you found out that you actually had a place?
Oh, chuffed a bit. Thrilled. I know this is a bit of a cliche, but I had been turned down, not turned down, but hadn't been picked in one round. And I had actually forgotten about it, and life was incredibly busy and hectic. And suddenly I got the email through confirming I had a place, and I was really thrilled, really excited.
Where would you be if you weren't here on a Thursday evening standing on a perch?
I would probably be, quite probably, swimming, because I live by the sea, and I go swimming in the sea a lot. And so this would be kind of end of the day, end of the season. I think I'll go for a quick dip in freezing cold seawater.
Have you always lived in Cornwall?
No, I originate from the northwest near Manchester, and I've kind of, you know, rolled down south over the years.
What's taken you down to Cornwall?
That's a really interesting question, because I grew up in a very landlocked place. I grew up in Cheshire near Manchester, and I've gravitated down south and also to the sea. I really like the lifestyle, and it's I'm a country girl at heart, and I lived in London for a long time, and I write, and it's a very nice place to write down there. That's one of the things that interested me in living there. I'm not very good at the country walks though. I like the cafes and the cream tea bit. But the country walks I could do better at.
Are you a writer for a living?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you always been?
No, I've done lots of things. I used to be a script editor. I do arts project management. So the whole process I found really interesting. In fact, I still do arts project management. And I'm a filmmaker too. All sorts. What do they call it? Portfolio career, I think it's known as. I've had hundreds of jobs, actually. The worst job I've ever had, I think, was a taxi driver for one day. That was a disaster. I just got so lost. I couldn't find one address, and I got sacked after the first day.
And the best job you've ever had?
That's tricky. I'd say writing. Definitely. When it's going well, there's nothing like it because you disappear into other worlds. But when it's going badly and, you know, your writing's rubbish and you hate yourself and then it's a bit grim. But when it's going well, there's nothing like it. It's a joy.
You mentioned that you found the operation of this project interesting. Can you develop on that?
Yeah, I do find, because I've done a lot of project managing and I used to production manage films. So if somebody has an idea, I'm not really an ideas person actually, and my writing reflects that. It's more about observation of life as it exists. So if somebody's got a creative idea, my brain, I can't help it, my brain automatically switches into a list of questions of how that could be achieved. How many PowerPoints do you need? How many toilets do you need? How many staff do you need? I can't help it. So I love working with creative people. And that's a nice partnership between somebody who's more practical like me, perhaps, and then the sort of visionary, the artist. And so things like, the system of us being phoned up and we were able to ask questions, et cetera, to how, you know, to me, this has been a very well-oiled machine, I must say. And I've been really impressed with the yellow JCB things that take us to the plinth. They look really cool and I'd love to have a go at driving one. So I find the process, it's not just about the art itself. The process is also really interesting, I think.
You mentioned that you follow Anthony Gormley's work. Have you always been a fan of modern art?
Very much so, yes. And I like conceptual art, all sorts. The very stuff where people go, oh my, you know, what on earth was that? You know, somebody's done something kind of obscure and esoteric, is the very sort of thing that I find myself going, oh, isn't that marvellous and clever? Ooh. And I am a bit of a fan of, you know, the kind of... I remember seeing something years ago with a friend of mine, and I was a teenager, and it was... balloons in a bucket, and he just thought it was horrific, and I loved it. And they were deflated balloons, they weren't even inflated, and I thought it was great. I can't say why, but I just did. I think it's the audacity of it, it's the fact that people think of these things, you know, that's what I kind of like about it, that they dare to kind of think about it.
Is it something that you've ever tried to actively do?
No, not particularly. It's an interesting contrast. I'm really keen in my writing to write observational things. I make films and I write plays and I write short stories. And of course there's embellishment, of course it's a work of fiction, but I'm very, very rooted in reality, I think so. You know, they are kind of slice of life type stuff. And therefore, maybe that's why I like the more conceptual stuff, because it's a bit of a tonic, you know, from reality.
Can I ask, looking back from when you were a teenager, where would you have said your life would have panned out as it has up to this point?
Oh, that's such a great question. Yes, actually, to be honest, you know, there, and I say that in a really positive way. And also in a more, not regretful, that would be too strong a word, but I do think, you know, I think it has panned out. I wanted an adventurous life and a creative life, and I've certainly got that, definitely far more than I ever thought I would, actually, far more. But I also know there's other things too that I feel as though I would have liked and I haven't got, and that's because of who intrinsically who I am, and I have to learn to accept that.
Would it be possible to develop?
Yeah, sure. In fact, that might be reflected in the work tonight. I've just split up with my boyfriend about a month ago. And we both really love each other, but we're very independent. And I've always been really independent. You could ask my mum about me sort of running off at three, you know, going for a little explore in the Lake District. And so I'm not married, you know, and so so that's good that I'm independent, but there's also a sadness to that too.
And how long have you been in a relationship with him?
2 years. Yeah, 2 years. Which isn't even that long, really. I mean, it's long for me, to be honest, and so you kind of I think when you're your 40s are a really interesting time, really interesting. I think before you're 40, you think about what is possible, what you think everything is possible, anything is possible. And then when you go past 40, you realise what actually is possible. So I might, 20 years ago, might have said, oh, I'll be a Formula One racing driver. Well, you know what? I ain't ever going to be a Formula or a brain surgeon or something like that. And that's nice because it makes you feel as though you know yourself quite well, or very well, actually, and you know the world a little bit. But also, there are, part of me does think, oh, I wish I'd driven a race car. I mean, who knows? Maybe Anthony Gormley will do race cars next. We could have a go at that. I don't know. Yeah, so it is. I mean, I think that's what's interesting about this project as well, because it's all about us. And I do think, like I was saying earlier, I think we're pack animals. Human beings actually don't thrive very well on their own. We congregate, don't we, in family and in community. And I think this is reflected. You can see this in this work. Why have we signed up? Why has anybody signed up for this? Why? Why did I go, yeah, I want to be part of that? And the other 30,000 people who had a go. Because we want to be part of something. We're on our own on that plinth, but we want to be part of something. And that's either supporting a football team or a band or, whatever, or going on holiday with mates or something. We do want to belong.
Do you feel a sense of belonging in your life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do. That was another reason why I moved to Cornwall, that to regain that sense of community. And living in rural areas, community, you depend on community because you don't actually have the infrastructure that you have in urban areas to support you. There just isn't the infrastructure. It's too isolated, it's too poor, it's too whatever. And therefore you're kind of forced to depend on each other far more than you would in an urban setting. And that I really like. I do really love that. Much as I used to live in London, and I loved living in London, and I still love it as a city. I think it's brilliant, but being part of a community, I think, is the future, actually. I do.
And looking forward as opposed to backward, what would you, about your future, where would you see yourself in 5-10 years' time?
Oh, that's a good question. I hope I will be thinner. I've just given up smoking, and I'm doing a lot of exercise with the swimming, and then the next thing is to get rid of my middle-aged spread. I'd really like to be thinner in 5 years' time. I really love travelling, and I'm about to go to Egypt, and I hope I can do a lot more travelling in the next 5 years. And I would certainly like to just carry on with my writing. That would be good. And I just want my family and my friends to be all right. I want them to be happy.
Well, what would you say are the important things in your life right now?
Well, actually, my ex-boyfriend is still hugely important. My brother, who's here today, he's terribly important to me. My mum and friends, yeah. I do need my friends. And then I just think, I do think I am kind of lucky because I've just in a position to live the life that I want to live. For as long as I've worked, I've never just had to have a job. I mean, I had to have a job, but I've always had jobs that I've really, really liked. And I think that's quite lucky, you know, actually. There's lots of people who don't have that. They really don't, you know, who dread going to work. And I've never had that. So if I can keep that going, that would be great, actually. Just to maintain that would be brilliant. It's a long time in the arts. I love the arts, I do. I just, you know, sometimes I've thought about doing other things, you know, especially moving to Cornwall. You know, we had an allotment once. We had an allotment, for goodness sake, me and a couple of friends. And it was such a disaster, we thought about hiring a gardener. So I'll stick to the arts, I think.
Is there anything else that you would like to say about yourself or about your feelings towards going up on the plinth?
No, I think oh, I'll tell you one other thing. I'm 45, I'll be 50 in 5 years' time. I would like to be brave enough to have a tattoo. So let's see if I can face the plinth. Then maybe I'll be brave enough to get a tattoo done.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Cheers.